This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. When you hear the word sabbatical, chances are you think of a university professor who takes paid leave for study or travel. But these days, people in other professions are taking extended leave from work too, as businesses and nonprofits use sabbatical policies to attract and retain employees. We're going to talk about what a multi-month break from work can mean for employees and the places where they work. Joining me now are University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business Dean Marianne Lewis. Thanks for being here, Dean Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Cincinnati resident Caitlin Beal. Welcome back, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Great to see you. And Procter & Gamble engineer Jennifer Sims. Thanks for being here, Jennifer.
Hi, Lucy. Thank you.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Dean Lewis, is there a difference between when people take extended time off from work and an academic sabbatical? Kind of walk us through that definition and what we should think of as a sabbatical.
Well, I think the actual concept, whether it's in a corporate or different organization, an academic, isn't all that different. And I'll be very interested to hear what the other speakers have to say on that in terms of how it's applied. But I mean, really, it means a long enough break that you both re-energize, so there's a well-being aspect, and retool or prepare yourself for what's next. I think in the organizational setting, again, and I don't think this is very different from the academic, it takes being very intentional. So it's not a break, it's not a vacation. It's really about getting your head around what is it that you're going to need for whatever the next chapter brings, and then doing that with purpose.
I'm going to ask you both this. I'm going to start with you, Caitlin. Tell me about what inspired your sabbatical, how long it lasted, if it was paid or unpaid.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had, this would have been last year, so April of 2023, I took a three-month paid sabbatical through the nonprofit organization I was with. So we're really small. We were a really small nonprofit, no more than 13 people. After 7 years of employment at that organization, you are gifted a three-month paid sabbatical. So I decided to take that opportunity to relocate to Korea for two of those months and travel around, mostly just do exactly what has already been shared, sort of reevaluate, take a break, and think about what was next.
Yeah. What about you, Jennifer? Tell us about kind of what your inspiration was, because you're in your sabbatical right now. You're smiling real big. I can tell you're in the middle of your sabbatical.
So I've worked for P&G for 25 plus years. At our company, you could take a sabbatical every 5 years, whether it's 1 month up to 3 months. So I'm currently in a three-month unpaid sabbatical. And what prompted me to take the time off was actually my husband, who also works at P&G, took a sabbatical last summer. So he took 1.5 months. He did it in between assignments. So similar to what Dean Marianne Lewis said, kind of refreshing, you know, preparing for what's coming next. So he raved about it. He loved it. He appreciated the time off. We're both relatively tenured with the company. And so he said it was a nice break. We're probably about 2/3 of our way through the career. So really enabled us to kind of see through.
Yeah. And he kind of encouraged you to consider it too, didn't he?
Exactly. So he was a strong proponent for it. We're very fortunate that the company enabled us both to do it. And people have helped cover, kind of gapped our roles during that time.
Yeah. And Caitlin mentioned what she did during her sabbatical, which sounds amazing. What are you doing during your sabbatical?
So in addition to my husband encouraging me to do it, I have two boys who are 15 and 10. And so my objective was really to spend the time with the boys. I felt like it was a critical time before my oldest one gets a driver's license and increases his independence. So really, my objective for this summer is just to be active with the boys. So I've already been to one baseball game this morning. After this, I'm going to head to a second youth baseball game. And we've been fishing, biking, trying to be spontaneous and go to Kings Island and Reds games.
Wow. That sounds like a great summer. I wish I were hanging out with you and your boys. Dean Lewis, how common are sabbatical policies outside of academia these days? Is this something a growing number of businesses and nonprofits are offering their employees?
You know, I, I think it's still fairly rare, but it is definitely growing. I mean, the examples you both just shared are excellent. And probably, at least in our region, Procter & Gamble has been doing this for a bit. Now, I'd be interested if you think differently, but I think they've really been a leader in our region. But we are seeing it quite a bit more. And the other piece I would stress is, because I was talking to someone, I'm trying to think where he was. I think it was at Pinterest yesterday, that we're seeing it more in the tech fields as well. Mm. And part of that is a lot of people are coming with PhDs, so they kind of know the sabbatical world. But I love the examples, because you can also hear the power of having that headspace of time, just stepping out of the day-to-day fray and getting a chance to really think both personally as well as professionally about what matters.
Yeah. We're talking about extended time away from work and what it can mean for employees and workplaces. Have you ever taken a sabbatical, or does your employer have a sabbatical policy? We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. This is completely unscientific, but I posted about this discussion on Facebook, and I heard from so many friends that their companies offer sabbaticals, that it's common for clergy to take sabbaticals, which I was not aware of before, and that even some fairly small organizations offer sabbaticals, like where you used to work, Caitlin, a pretty small organization, a nonprofit organization that you worked for. I'm going to ask you this, Caitlin. What do you think is the business argument for that? I mean, why? That's pretty expensive for a 13-person business to offer 3 months paid. How was that good for the business, or was it viewed as being good for the business?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I think that, one, you know, we had a unique model, even though we were a small team. You know, we all wore many hats. We shared a lot of responsibilities, and we had been working toward being able to trust each other enough that we could cover the work and made sure that it didn't feel like such a blow if someone was gone for 3 months. And also, you know, you would just be surprised how quickly 3 months flies by. I think that the business case is that everything that Dean Lewis said about giving you a chance to pause, think about what you really care about, realign your values, understand like how you best like to work. All of those things are benefits to employers. I mean, in theory, it means that employees can come back feeling rejuvenated, refreshed. Also, if that also means that employers have to have things set up, though, so that people can show up with this sort of renewed energy and potentially some new insights about themselves and how they want to work, can employers actually adapt to that? So, you know, I would say that maybe one of the drawbacks is if everything goes back to the way it was, I can also see how employers would be like, peace out. I'm ready to move on to something else.
Yeah. Dean Lewis, what do you think? I'm thinking, couldn't it be difficult, especially for smaller organizations and businesses? I mean, Caitlin said she worked at a 13-person place, to have an employee out of the office for an extended period of time. There has to be a lot of planning and covering for each other that goes into that, doesn't there?
Yeah, there really does. I mean, Caitlin, I think that's an impressive example. And it's interesting to me, the growth in not really sabbatical programs, but just in flexible options to help retain and develop your talent. I mean, it's too critical to keep wonderful people. And so I think it is important to get out, you know, think outside of the box. I think to the question, you know, when you see it in a bigger organization like a P&G, they really think about sabbaticals within this larger basket of maternity and paternity leave, extended disability. I mean, there are a host of reasons you might need to cover someone. You're right, with a smaller firm, you probably don't have quite a built-in way to cover. Caitlin, I'm curious how it worked with you, but I've certainly seen with some organizations that the person going on sabbatical has some responsibility to build a plan for that coverage. Doesn't mean you have to necessarily find the person, but what can either be paused, delegated? How do you start to build more multi-skilling across a team? I mean, there's a lot of creativity that can go into those discussions.
Jennifer, I know you're in the middle of your sabbatical right now, but you planned for quite a bit before in terms of who would take over parts of your role and that sort of thing. Tell us about that process.
Sure. My sabbatical started June 1st. I started discussing with my manager in October about the concept. We worked with the HR manager, looked at the policy starting in January, sometimes at P&G. Ideally, it's when you're between assignments. So in my husband's case, he was leaving one assignment and then going to a next. And so he had a nice break. In my case, the discussion was to gap my role. So I started developing a spreadsheet starting in January to prepare to go out in June. And so I have about 15 people who are covering different aspects. And I probably maybe send a text message about an average of once a week, just, you know, because I am very grateful for those folks doing the work. And so I said, hey, if you need anything, just text me. You know, I'm available to kind of help point you in the right direction.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned that I posted this on Facebook. I heard from a couple of other local nonprofits who have instituted sabbatical policies. One is Ronald McDonald House Charities of Greater Cincinnati. Their CEO, Jen Loeb, said, our board just voted to institute a sabbatical policy at Ronald McDonald House. It's been extremely well received by our team. It's the board just voted it in. We get a 6-week paid sabbatical for every 10 years. And also, I heard from Georgine Getty, who oversees Our Daily Bread Soup Kitchen and Social Center. She said they adopted a sabbatical policy in 2022. All staff get 4 weeks every 5 years, and it's been a game changer. She said the staff love it, of course, but the overall benefits to our agency have been incredible and unexpected. It forces cross-training and cooperation. Staff volunteered at and visited similar agencies and brought back best practices, etc. She says their sabbaticals are also paid, and they can add up to one additional week of saved PTO if they want. They can also cash out one of the sabbatical weeks if they want to, like, use the money for travel. So it sounds like businesses and nonprofits are looking at this in very different ways. We have in the studio with us, Caitlin had a paid sabbatical. Jennifer is taking an unpaid sabbatical. Dean Lewis, is there a trend with one happening more often than the other? Are more employers likely to have unpaid leave versus paid leave? I wonder if you have a thought on that.
I think it's quite a mix, but I would add to, you know, is it paid or unpaid? A third category, which is a mix. And I think, Jennifer, did you say that, that there may be this, when I see the mix, it tends to be to expand or extend your sabbatical. So I see a lot of organizations that are moving to sabbatical saying, say, for example, there's 1 month paid, but you could extend it up to X if you want to add the unpaid. And I think that is also really appreciated by the individuals involved to think, what is it I want to get out of this experience and how long do I need? And what does it mean for me personally, which is a big piece to the unpaid.
Yeah. You are adding some paid vacation time to your sabbatical, aren't you, Jennifer?
I added 1 week.
Yeah. Just the icing on top of that cake. Caitlin, what did you get out of your sabbatical? You took this time off. You said you moved out of the country for a while. You did. It sounds like a lot of soul searching. What did you come away with after that time?
I think everything that Dean Lewis has said about shifting your perspective, I don't know, someone described it as like getting off of the treadmill. I think that whether it's 6 weeks, 3 months, a year, I think it's just I see it as an experiment. It's really just a sort of controlled container where you can experiment with, like, what does it look like when your patterns or your day-to-day life shift? What does it actually look like when you are refocusing on yourself and, like, trying to meet your own needs and not trying to fit your needs, your family's needs, your caregiving needs, all these other needs in the tiny moments throughout your workday? So I think I felt like I got a lot more in touch with, yeah, what I'm excited about, what I'm interested in. Not to mention, like, I remember I looked at my blood pressure and my blood pressure had literally dropped by like 10 points.
Wow.
I mean, it was, and yeah, I feel like what is harder actually is learning those things and then trying to apply them back to the real world. But I think that is actually the hardest work post-sabbatical, but I think when you can figure that out, you don't have to wait for every 5 years for that next sabbatical to bank on that rest, you can try to find ways to incorporate rest and creativity and restoration throughout the days, throughout the weeks.
Mm. Jennifer, what do you feel like you're getting out of yours so far? I know you're in the middle of it.
To build on what Caitlin just said, I think it's really helped my well-being, just to feel less stressed, less anxious about the schedule. I think going forward, different results or changes I want to make as a result is looking at how I leverage my vacation. So really trying to take advantage of the vacation over the summer, trying to keep things simple. So I am a planner, and then, you know, sometimes I overcomplicate things, and then also asking for help, you know, so trying to, you know, keep this feeling alive of just feeling more balanced.
Can I just also add, Jennifer, I don't know if you experienced this, but I think before sabbatical, when I would have a vacation, let's say I had a week off for the holidays, I feel like it was so difficult for me to just get into vacation mode and to relax. Like, I wanted to maximize all five of those days. So it's like, okay, I'm going to do all the house projects. I'm going to do this and that. And then basically, like, I needed a vacation from that vacation. It was so hard to relax. And I think sabbatical is like ultimately a practice in restoration and relaxing. And I think because I started to build a practice, it did mean that moving forward, future vacations, future weeks off, I could ease into it so much quicker.
Wow. Dean Lewis, you know, we talked about some sabbaticals are paid, some are unpaid. Is there any risk that policies, especially with unpaid sabbaticals, could further inequality in the workplace? I mean, there are going to be people who aren't in a financial position to be able to take advantage of an unpaid sabbatical.
I mean, I think that's a really important point. Boy, I think that puts some serious onus on the leaders of the firm to think about who's taking them and why, and more importantly, to your point, who's not taking them, and to make sure that they're watching that. For those that only do non-paid, I think you've got to get serious about how you have almost, I'm using back to my academic side, but almost kind of a scholarshiping approach so that it is not just for those with the means to do so.
Jennifer, would you recommend a sabbatical to other people?
Yes. My biggest regret is that I didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, 25 years is a long time to wait for a sabbatical. How about you, Caitlin? Would you recommend it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I just add to what you were saying about the inequality of sabbaticals? I do think that, you know, even as more organizations are doing this, it also does seem to really fall within white collar, middle to upper income. And also, like, I just have to name that I think often this is not accessible to people of color, because people of color, like even in the nonprofit space, we tend to burn out a lot faster. And so I would love to see sabbatical policies that come in much earlier, you know, at 2 or 3 years, just to kind of help reckon with that inequality that already takes place in workplaces.
Hmm. Dean Lewis, I saw that an organization called the Sabbatical Project has done some research. The people they surveyed, 80% went back to the jobs that they had left on sabbatical. Do you think that should give employers some comfort that you're not going to lose great people if you give them this benefit?
Oh, I really do. And I'm grateful for organizations like that showing that research, because I think there's a very strong business case for sabbaticals, but they oftentimes firms need evidence that you're not going to lose them in this process. I couldn't agree more with what Caitlin and Jennifer said. I mean, I've done them myself and have found sabbaticals life-changing.
Wonderful. Well, I've been talking with University of Cincinnati Lindner College of Business Dean Mary Ann Lewis, Cincinnati resident Caitlin Beal, and Procter & Gamble engineer Jennifer Sims. Thank you all so much for your time today. It was great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.